The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to the latter part of the week. Good afternoon, and thanks for being a part of the show. We have a lot to do today and some really important stories, a couple of them involving coordinator positions, a quarterback who is no longer at Florida, and Jim Harbaugh being dishonest. Imagine that. Let's get to it. And talk about what's happening next for Nick Saban. Could Todd Grantham be the choice? Well, if you were listening yesterday, you heard his name mentioned. He's in the analyst room. He's been everywhere. Mississippi State, Florida, they were happy to see him go there. Could he be the new DC? Hey, Pete Golding, you want to come back? Meanwhile, Arkansas as bringing back Dan Enos. He's made the rounds. He's been at Alabama. He's been at Arkansas. He went to Miami. Where was he last? Maryland?
Yes, that's right.
He's now in Arkansas.
Again?
Sam Pittman, happy to see him. And the Jaden Rashada fallout continues. Remember, he's the quarterback who Florida beat Miami out for, apparently because of a $13 million NIL deal, which has now fallen apart, and so has the recruitment and the stay of Jaden Rashada at Florida. Where will he end up next? And then Jim Harbaugh back in the news. Can this program stay out of the news? He was going to the NFL, then he wasn't going to the NFL, then one of his top assistants is in trouble with the university and the law, and Harbaugh is in trouble with the NCAA. They have accused him of lying. Hard to believe Jim Harbaugh wouldn't tell the truth, especially to the NCAA. Remember that quote from a couple of years ago from John Bacon's book? It's hard to beat the cheaters. You know who he was referring to. Just looks south. And now Harbaugh apparently lied to the NCAA. They tried to make a settlement, but I'll let the guy who broke the story tell us what this is about. Why listen to me when Dan Wetzel from Yahoo is up next? Dan, another day, another Harbaugh story. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
It's eventful, Paul. It's always eventful. So, look, the NCAA has accused Michigan of five violations. Four of them are level two that are, not really that serious, and the punishment would be pretty low if they just remedied that. However, in the course of the investigation, the NCAA believes Jim Harbaugh was dishonest or not forthcoming or lied to them or whatever word you want to use. And that triggered a level one violation, which is significant and could result in, a six-game suspension for Harbaugh, recruiting restrictions, all sorts of stuff, right? That's the big one. And Harbaugh, so they're trying to, remedy, come up with a negotiation here. Harbaugh has admitted the four level two violations, apologized for it, but he is not going to acknowledge or does not agree with the idea, denies that he ever was dishonest or lied. He says apparently the however he acted with the investigators was he didn't recall what had happened at that time. So when they asked him about specific incidents, he just didn't recall them. Now he does recall that they happened, but that is different than purposely lying or being dishonest or anything. So the NCAA wants him to acknowledge that he lied and accept guilt on the level one violation. Harbaugh is not going to do that, refuses to do that, and is dug in. And so both sides are dug in on this, and any potential easy resolution to this case right now, no one's quite sure where we're going until somebody blinks. And then there's the question of what does Michigan do? Do they back their head coach in a potential, year and a half long full battle with the NCAA or not. And so there's a lot of unknowns on how what is really a small case has become a big case And, you know, does the NCAA have the still have the power or the relevancy to fight something like this? Does Harbaugh, how far does Harbaugh go with it? I mean, obviously, if he says he didn't lie, you can't blame him for not wanting to sign anything and agree to it. So that's where we're at. It's an impasse, and it drags this out a little longer.
Dan, just for the sake of argument, you may not know the answer. Assuming Harbaugh said, okay, had a bad day, I misled you, let's find a deal here. What would the deal be if he agreed to lying or misleading?
That's hard to say because they haven't even started any negotiation until they get, you know, look, you're accused of the crime. You got to admit you did it. And then they say, okay, we'll knock 10 years off the sentence. Right. But there's certainly a belief that that would cut a 6-game suspension to, you know, 2 games, 3 games, something like that. And if you've seen Michigan's non-conference schedule, they could live without Jim Harbaugh for the first few games without missing much. But he is adamant that he never lied. And look, the thing about Harbaugh is he is extremely stubborn. And this kind of stuff matters to him. And so if he says he didn't do it, he's not going to just immediately take the path of least resistance and say, whatever. Yeah, I had a bad day. I might have misled you. Cut it down. I mean, this is a guy who spent his entire public career. I mean, he's been in the public football eye for almost 40 years. And this is a guy who had no problem taking on in feuds with Bo Schembechler, Mike Ditka, you know, as a coach, Pete Carroll, Jim Schwartz at the Lions, I say Urban, all the different guys. This is Harbaugh. He's a very, very dug in, stubborn guy, and he has no interest in playing this game, even if the potential fallout is far more significant than what these level two violations are, which are, you know, an analyst, you know, working a session of a practice and watching some workouts through a Zoom, things that just aren't going to be major punishments. So it's a really unusual case because it's a process crime that has gotten, or an alleged process crime that is really much bigger than the actual original charges.
Dan, Dan Wetzel with us from Yahoo. Other than Harbaugh, what's going on with, I believe it's the offensive coordinator. What is all that about?
Well, there's a police investigation into somebody inside Schembechler Hall illegally or without authorization accessing university emails. We also then have the offensive coordinator suspended while there is an investigation into some kind of action. So you can kind of put the dots together there and put them there. So that's it. It's a potential criminal case. You know, I mean, they raided his house. They're obviously looking through a lot of stuff. And so we don't really have facts on exactly what the allegation is there, but it's an illegal or, you know, allegedly illegal accessing of school emails. Was that other employees? Was that students? Was that football players? You know, those types of things still have to be sorted out.
But let me, help me understand. Maybe I'm just plain dense, but what's the crime there?
What is? Well, you know, you have an email account. You can't have I can't log into your account or find out how to log into your account.
So apparently this coach is doing something nefarious with these emails or trying to get, I mean, it's just hard to understand based on what I've read. That's all I'm asking.
So if you have an email account, someone breaking into that email account and reading your emails or seeing what you're sending or checking your passwords would be the same as breaking into your house.
And this top assistant for Jim Harbaugh is accused of that right now, or at least there are allegations that could be accused.
Somebody is accused of that at Schembechler Hall, and there's also somebody who's suspended.
Okay.
So to protect ourselves, let's just leave it at that. But, yeah, it's pretty obvious what might be going on. But that's basically it. So why are you doing that? What is that? If this actually happened, it's kind of the question that police have not provided that detail, right?
Okay.
So is it a financial crime? Is it something else? Is it a privacy concern? What exactly is this? I think we're going to find out sooner rather than later.
And Dan, also, I explain to me when Harbaugh made this expected decision the other day to stay, considering there's no evidence, unless you can help me with this, that an NFL club is all that excited with the prospects of another Harbaugh in the NFL. Why did the president of the university tweet that out as opposed to the normal chain of command where you would inform your boss, which at almost every other college is the athletic director?
Well, the new president seems to have taken a pretty good interest in athletics there, and so he was talking to Harbaugh the way he wrote it and decided to break the news that way. But you know, as you point out, there didn't seem to be an offer at that time. And again, you have to look at the backdrop of like what we discussed at the beginning of what's going to happen with the NCAA. And I know everyone wants to brush the NCAA off and say, yeah, it no longer matters and who cares about these rules and why does this thing even exist? And I'm not going to argue against any of that, but they still do exist. And so people are like, why didn't they just give them a contract extension? And you go, well, you give a guy a 10-year deal if he might be hit with a level one violation that could suspend him for recruiting and coaching for a while. Like, how do you handle all these different things? There's so many moving parts all of a sudden at Michigan, a program that's fairly tranquil until about the middle of this season. The last 2 weeks have just been wild with stuff. So there's a lot of different angles, and nothing's really working like a domino where it's like this. There's just a whole swarm of different activity, and it's hard to know what's going to come next. But there's a lot to sort out. So Harbaugh and Michigan agreeing that he should stay, because that he kept putting out these cryptic things. It's my hope to stay and my intention. And I think what he was talking about is, does Michigan necessarily want him? And what's with the NFL and all these different things? But it's just a very uncertain time at Michigan. And it's like you said at the beginning, every day a new Harbaugh story, a new Michigan story.
Dan, thank you. I hope we don't hear anything else about Jim Harbaugh until the season, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
We'll probably talk again.
Thank you, Dan. Always a pleasure. Dan Wetzel, who broke this story for Yahoo. We will get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Chris Doering will join us, presumably to talk about the Rashada situation. Later on, Stephen A. Smith. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Stephen M. Smith.
Yes.
Who needs Stephen A. Smith when you have M? He'll join us later as well. How about phone calls? I've been waiting for this since last night. Let's begin with Chris in Virginia. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Nice to talk to you again, man. I haven't talked to you, I think, since last offseason. So.
Thank you.
I was listening to your podcast last night since obviously I worked third shift. And I feel like there's kind of like a changing of the guard with your callers almost. It kind of gives off the feeling that, like, some of your old callers, like, I feel like they're not getting their point across, or they're coming at you in, like, a negative manner just to see you overreacting and, like, trying to become a different person. But, like, that's just what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
from,
you know,
like,
Chris, that's a really good astute observation. And I think this program has gone through a lot of evolutions, and, you know, I sympathize with the people that have been with us from the beginning. The show is different, and people don't like change, but I will argue forever that the show is essentially the same, but that's okay. I think that's also what makes this show unique, when the host of the show and the callers get into fights outside during recess. And, you know, and I thought about this last night, like, what am I doing? I mean, I'm an adult. Why am I getting into spitball contests with some of the callers every day? But I think that just shows you the involvement that we all have. I mean, this is a big family. And I think the ones that have been around the longest, there's more volatility there, but I hope everyone sticks around. We're not eager to run off any caller to this show ever.
Right. I've been listening to you ever since you came over from me and came over to ESPN, even when you were in College Game Day. So as soon as I found this show that you were switched over to, I've been listening and, like, trying to call in ever since then. So I'm just a huge fan at 28 years old. So I appreciate everything you do for the SEC, and keep on being the big old homer.
Hey, thank you very much. That means a lot. You take care of yourself. Kathy is up next. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I was trying to call back last night, but he told me I was like 15 minutes late because I had recorded. Yesterday was my birthday, and my grandbabies came to see me. So
oh,
I had
wonderful.
To talk to them and just make sure I had it recorded. But I was so upset with Jim. We're not morons, and we're not a bunch of fools. And he professes to be a Christian, and if he's really a Christian, he knows the Bible, and he knows what the Bible says. The best thing that we can tell Jim when he calls is say, and, let him have his story back whenever. Because you know what? He's not that irrelevant, no more than any of us are. And tell them to be careful, Alabama, what they wish for. I don't think that Grantham would be their answer.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that old joke, Kathy. If Grantham is the answer, what is the question?
Exactly. Because he was at Georgia, which he done good when he was at Georgia. But when he left us, he just seemed to be getting worse and worse to me. But that's just my
opinion. There's always, Kathy, there's always a reason you end up sitting in Butch Jones's old desk in Saban's analyst room. And it's primarily because the previous job didn't work out. I mean, Dan Mullen fired Grantham for a specific reason. And I would never tell Coach Saban how to handle his coaching staff. Other than suggesting that Pete Golden and Bill O'Brien should be gone. But other than that, he knows whether Grantham is the answer. My gut feeling is he's probably not. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Steve is up next in Georgia. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Good. I'm on the speakerphone of the car. If I need to change,
no,
let me know.
You sound great.
Listen, Paul, let's start out. I want to commend you on your attitude and your patience with some of these callers. Like the previous caller said, it's very hard. I've got a background. We've talked a couple times about NIL and boosters and everything, and I saw it coming a long time ago. But my background is sports medicine, therapy work, counseling, and I'm a Christian, and some of these people that quote scriptures don't understand that people can quote scriptures and really don't live by them. So let's leave it at that. But your patience and understanding, you have talents, and I think your talents is mercy and compassion for some of these people unfortunately, some of these people, callers, some of the older callers, abuse people and to get their agenda done, and they're sort of, you know, wanting their own agenda, you know, to be served. And I do appreciate you saying that. I wanted to also thank you from the Bulldog Nation, all the SEC fans, of your support for the tragedy. And we know it could happen anywhere, but I want to thank you especially for your coverage on that. But I want to talk about this, not specifically about this gentleman at the University of Florida recruit, but I want to talk about the role of the agent and how it's defined, and the role of the NIL, and make people understand that this is not our college football world or our parents' football world as we think it is anymore. I pulled up some definitions. Definition of a sports agent, a legal representative for professional sports figures such as athletes and coaches. They procure and negotiate employment contracts. That's from Wikipedia, whatever that means from Wikipedia.
Right.
NIL stands for name, image, and likeness for college athletes. Using their student athletes can receive financial compensation. And a sports lawyer, all this ties in to licensed legal legal professionals representing athletes, industry boards, coaches, and so forth like this. What I'm getting at, these kids are no longer amateurs, in my opinion, and probably you're thinking the same thing. Once they procure someone to represent them as an attorney, they are a professional athlete. And the NIL and the transfer portal is a prime example of that. These kids are jockeying for exposure time. Would you not agree on that when they transfer?
I would agree totally with you. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So the days are gone when someone is going to commit to a school for the academics primarily and commit their loyalty to there, and especially if they have somebody in their background, family-wise or whatever, pushing them to see how many dollars they can get out of someone. I've seen the quote of this person that put together this collective in Florida, and he says, "We never sign a contract," which means you sign a contract. Someone has got to be there representing this student or this kid and their parents. And that, to me, just null and voids the person being an amateur athlete anymore. So in that case, it seems like the family has an issue with the collective, not the University of Florida, because they are going back on their contract. Is that what you understand also?
Yeah, I do. That's a very good encapsulation of the whole thing. Steve, thank you for everything you said. We're up against the break, but it's always a pleasure to speak with you. We'll talk a little bit about that with Doring next hour. Your phone calls continue right here.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Phil is up next from Georgia. Hey, Phil.
Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there.
Boy, I was surprised. Boy, I'm so anxious to get your take. I've got a couple of questions. Actually, sir. I've got many, many more, but you don't want your program to be me. So, now, number one, Stetson Bennett. He's won two national championships, an SEC championship. He was MVP in almost all these last three games. Why was he a distant fourth in the Heisman?
Well, here's why. He did not ever, until it was too late for the voting, capture the fancy of the people that vote. I'm a voter, and I did put him in my top three. I'm not saying that to cover myself. I didn't vote for him first, so you can throw your eggs at me now if you want. And here's why. The voting is done before the playoffs. Had the voting been done after the playoffs, he would have won. But it is a sport like others in professional that give the MVP or the Heisman or whatever it is before the playoffs start. I can't explain it, but that's just the way it's done. And, you know, he had some stretches during the season where he didn't distinguish. I worked with somebody on a program that would shake his head almost every week watching Stetson play. So it also isn't a lifetime achievement award. It's an award based on this season. And in Stetson's case, it was a 13-game season. I will add, finally, without the SEC championship game, he would not have been in New York.
Well, now I respect your opinion, so no, sir, I'm not going to give you an argument. But even when he was there in New York, I think he was the only one of two of undefeated seasons. And you're saying that he had some questionable games, and that's true.
Well, but Phil, in all fairness, he also played with the most talent that anybody on that stage was playing with. And that sometimes is held against you. Now, Stroud also had enormous talent around him, so I'm not sure that's really a fair argument. Caleb Williams probably had the most inferior team, and he was able to do a great deal with it. So there's no right or wrong way to look at it. I know a lot of Tennessee fans who are upset about Hendon Hooker. And I think the laziest take I've ever heard, and all my colleagues up and down the dial have said it, is that Hendon Hooker, it's a tragedy that Hendon Hooker wasn't in New York. You know what? You have to be in the top five, or top four in this case, to get to New York. So let's quit using that line, because he didn't make the cut. Now, you know, why did the other guys do better? I'll tell you why, because it was a very difficult Heisman race. It started with Bryce Young. And then Stroud took over, and I'm trying to remember who else was in the running before. Hendon Hooker was in the running at the top before he got hurt. So it is a popularity contest. It's a beauty contest. You could make a strong case that Bryce Young should have been there as well. But that, you know, this was a very unique year where really how you played down the stretch mattered the most, and Caleb Williams played extremely well in those last important games for SC, where Stetson Bennett had all these compliments around him. And it will be a trivia question later on. How come he didn't win it? Because of what he did in the playoffs. But that was not part of the equation. I appreciate your call and understand your frustration as well. Dustin in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
Hey, wanted to talk Razorbacks, but real quick. Like I ever talk about anything else. Real quick, I wanted to offer condolences. I didn't realize until I was watching toward the end of your show yesterday and heard a couple of callers that your career's over. So,
well,
sorry.
Dustin, thanks for saying that. And I think they're giving me a farewell dinner. When is it, Randy?
It's Friday.
Today?
No, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow's Friday. It's tomorrow after work. There's a there's a local sports bar around the corner, so I doubt there'll be much coverage of it. I doubt many people will be there, but I deeply appreciate your condolences.
Well, Paul, you always have the best attitude about this, and I meant what I said when I told you. This feels like a family, and a lot of people look forward to it. So
thank you.
You got one of the best going. I hope your reign never ends. Real quick, so don't want to take up too much time from everybody else who wants to talk. Arkansas coordinators. I'm a believer in Pittman and Juracek. I mean, it seems like every time something bad happens, they just go out and reroute it. You know, Barry Odom leaves, which, to be honest with you, I was glad Barry Odom left. I wasn't pleased with the defense. They go out and they get Williams and Woodson. And now they brought in Dan Enos. And a couple of things I wanted your feedback on here. I wasn't super excited about Enos until I really started looking back at like the 2015-2016 season. Each of those years, he turned out a 3,000-yard passer and a 1,000-yard rusher. And another thing I'm excited about with him coming back is he seemed to use and develop tight ends a lot more, and we've got a couple of studs in the pipeline coming down, plus, you know, Stanford tight end coach. I wasn't really confident that Kendall Briles was going to make good use of the tight ends. So your feedback on that would be appreciated. And then the other thing is, I really liked the move. You know, Kendall Briles just didn't seem loyal. He didn't seem like he was in it for us. He seemed like
he was only in it. Let's start with the fact that he was a Briles.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I really like the fact that Juracek and Pittman announced it today before Briles could even clean out his office and make his own announcement. I mean, that was
Let me start with Dustin. Juracek has distanced himself from everyone else in terms of being the preeminent athletic director in the SEC right now, in the country for that matter. I think Sam made a great choice in recovering from losing both. And, you know, Enos has a good reputation. He's been a couple of places, but that happens. A lot of the times what you do as a coordinator is entirely dependent on your boss, and you know, he's had a couple of screwballs. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Steve is up next in Georgia, and he's also had some good ones, including his last one. Steve, go right ahead.
Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You said Steve from Georgia, and I started talking a while ago, and it was the other Steve, and I thought he made some real good points, but I appreciate your show. I really appreciate your tolerance and your compassion, and you did a great job this week with the tragedies at Georgia. And, you know, there's really no bad people here. I mean, had some callers like Daryl. It was a little bit insensitive about some things. But, you know, everybody's passionate about college football, and that's what I appreciate. And I think you overlook a lot of things that people maybe have wrong attitudes about, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that
Thank
about you.
You.
But, we've been season ticket holders for 70 years, Georgia's season ticket holders, and I just want to call and express my opinion. I agree with Amy 100%, and I've talked to a lot of big Georgia supporters, and 50-60% of them feel the same way she does, and it's surprising. A lot of people just say, well, that's just locker room talk. But, you know, we had a coach here in Valdosta named Wright Bazemore, and he probably won – from 1940 to 1970, 30 years, he probably won 15 state championship games. And then we had a guy named Nick Hatter that won about 10 state championships. I never heard him utter a curse word, but yet they could motivate us without that. And I appreciate Kirby and all he's done. I think the integrity of the program is good, and it's just really disappointing. It's really disappointing to have heard that locker room talk. I don't know where you heard it or not.
Yeah, Steve, I did hear it, and it didn't surprise me because I've been in locker rooms with Kirby Smart, and I know how he deals with players. And I think everybody is entitled to their opinion here, but I think what we have to realize, Steve, and thank you very much for the call, is that a lot of times this is how people motivate. We've all seen movies. Many of you have been in the armed forces, and some things that are said in training, you wouldn't want your children to hear, but that's how it works. And I don't have a problem with anything that I've heard him say firsthand or even on that tape. I'm not going to judge him. His job is to get that team ready to play. It is not a church service, and he knows best. I could not begin to tell you what I would say to a team if you parachuted me in there. But he obviously, I know this sounds trite, but does he get results? Yes. If he went in there and
spoke softer and didn't use those words, would they get results? You could argue that they could, but that's just how he operates. It'd be one thing if he operated like that in public. And I know some people are saying, well, you do it in private. There's a difference between what's said in the confines of a locker room and the confines of a training session and what you say publicly. I think, you know, they always tell us in broadcasting, don't talk around the set any different than you would on the air, because you don't know when that microphone is going to be on. So that's why we keep Randy over there with a muzzle. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here on a Thursday afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And Jesse in Georgia is up next. Hey, Jesse.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Uh-huh.
Johnny is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
First of all, I've checked, and it is not a full moon. Earlier in the week when I heard some of those calls, I looked over at my calendar, and I thought, this has got to be a full moon with some of this craziness, but it's not. So I don't know what's going to happen on down the road. But anyway, what I wanted to touch on is, you know, one of the oldest things you hear in sports is there's no I in team.
Right.
There is an I in NIL.
Yes, there is.
And I think that I was a lineman. And so what we don't get is enough information on what's going on with the money. Do these guys getting all this wealth share it with their offensive line? If not, I can see, you know, this is going to destroy the team chemistry. It'd be mighty hard for me to work my tail off blocking for somebody getting $1 million, and I'm just, you know, as is.
Well, think about this for a second, Johnny. The school that was in the eye of the storm last year was Texas A&M. They had the best single recruiting class of all time. What is the number, guys? 25 players, 25 or more, have already gone into the portal. So when I was out there, I wasn't there. I was close to there a couple of months ago, and I kept hearing reports that there were some issues in the locker room. Well, that festered from a team pick number 6 in the country to losing 7 games, and then you see a quarter of the football team hit the portal. That's an indicator that what you just got through saying is correct.
That was my take on it. Another thing that kind of bothers me, you know, we're just losing that team chemistry. Like ESPN, a game will come on and they'll say Bryce Young in Alabama versus Hendon Hooker in Tennessee.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's okay, but everybody on that team has got a mom and daddy that's just as proud as they are of Bryce and everybody else. I'm not saying that these guys – I am in favor of NIL. Don't get me wrong.
But
we don't know enough about what's going on with the money. I mean, we know Bryce is a good actor in the Dr. Pepper commercials. That's some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. But some of these other guys, you know, I never saw anything with Milo T and the Auburn guy. So, you know, I just wish we knew more about how that money was being distributed.
Well, that's the one thing we don't know. We don't really know anything in relation to – hey, thank you very much for the call. How about Trey up next in Tuscaloosa?
Hey, Paul, how you been, my friend?
Hey, Trey.
I just wanted to tell you, I've been listening to you, but I think I told you last time we talked, I had surgery on my Achilles, and I had to come off my blood thinners, and I developed some blood clots in my lungs and all, and they collapsed. So I've been in a rehab center, but been listening to you. But I've been on a breathing machine, so I hadn't been able to talk, and I'd like to tell all you, and congratulations to Georgia on their back-to-back championship. But Paul, I'd like to talk to your callers a minute and let everybody know that, you know, you never know when God's going to come calling. And this is the third time I've survived it. And I think we all, as callers and all, can do better sometimes because we go at each other. And I know I've been pretty hard on Jim at times, and I've thought about it, and I'd like to apologize to Jim. I don't agree with a lot of things he says, but, you know, life is precious, Paul, and we never know when that's going to happen. So, but I have listened to you. I just hadn't been able to call in from being on a breathing machine.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.